Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I think that there's not any place that I would rather be than in God's house. I just like it a lot. I enjoy being around God's people. It's an important time in my life. And here's what I love about Christian Ministries. We get to be around God's people on other days of the week besides just Sunday. That's an important thing to me. My wife and I wanted church to be a lifestyle that we lived. And so if you have kids of school age and they're in CMA or they're not, and you would like to come to a good CMA game, we have games through the week. We have school going on through the week. Well, I just don't have anything to do during the week. Come and talk to our school and try to volunteer. We've got a lot of opportunities to serve here at Christian Ministries Church, and I love that. I love that. At times, I'm overwhelmed by it. It's like, good grief, there's something else. Life group, a game tonight, this going on, and now it's Christmas season. Can we just get to Thanksgiving? That statement in and of itself doesn't sound real thankful, does it? But that's how we are. We're in a world that we're inundated with busy. We're inundated with frustration. We're inundated. I mean, you just name it, and there is strife and turmoil, it seems like, at every turn. If it's not with the work, it's with the job. If it's with the someone at your work, if it's not with someone at your work, it's with somebody in your family. If it's not with somebody in your family, it's with somebody in your church. How can I go to church? I don't like them. You know, if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians 3. Let's just get going here. A lot of problems going on, and I don't want to deal with them. America has problems. As you're turning to Colossians, just know that there's a lot of problems going on in our world. Come on, everybody knows that. You can go, yep, I know that, Pastor. I actually started this sermon by listing problems that are going on in our country. And as I was praying about that, God said, take all that out of there. That's all that we seem to hear, and they don't need to hear it from the pulpit. So you just go ahead and know that I listed all them, and then I just erased them. And so right now, you go ahead and just put them in your head for a second. All the problems that are going on, because I'm not going to talk about them. You know what they are. With our leadership in our country, with what's going on in our country, I'm not going to talk about them. I'm just going to give you some areas that your mind can head there. Colossians 3:15. After you got all that in your head, let's see what God's word says. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. I love how the worship service just kind of goes along with exactly what God had orchestrated for today. As members of one body, you're called to live in peace. Now, it doesn't say that I'm going to make everything in this world work out so that based on what's going on in this world, you can have peace. It says as Christians and members of one body, you're called to live at peace. And then it adds another thing, and sometimes be thankful. Nope, that's not what it says, and always be thankful. I don't know about you, but that's a tough one. I mean, it would have been a lot easier to live with, and sometimes be thankful. It would have been a lot easier if they had said, and one time a year at Thanksgiving, be thankful. Just one time a year. I mean, Chapman and I didn't really talk about that. He stole part of my sermon. Question day, are you always thankful or are you sometimes thankful? Come on, if we're honest, I'd say a lot of times we're sometimes thankful. There's a short list of what's always wronging you from being thankful. Now, I'm just going to go on record and say that. It's a short list. And the reason it's a short list is because you haven't made another list of all the great things that are going on. We just make a list of all the things we're frustrated about. So are you always thankful? So many are not enjoying their life, their community, their family, their church family, their kids, where you live, your friends, your relationship with the Lord, because something's always wrong and you're always dealing with something that's trying to steal and rob you of joy and take away peace. Thankfulness, joyfulness, appreciation for life should be a way of living for the Christian. But even from the pulpit, there are times that all we talk about is all the problems and we're trying to address them. Now, I'm not saying there's not problems. I'm just saying it tends to be what we talk about. And so I ask today, are you thankful? Well, you say, yeah, I'm trying to be. It's just tough, Ashley. It's just tough because there's always something wrong. Let me just go on record. Thankfulness, joyfulness, appreciation for life is a way of living. Ungrateful, spoiled, selfish, never satisfied is also a way of living. And I don't believe you can do both. That's why the Bible says always be thankful. Because if he thought you could do both as a Christian, he'd have said, and sometimes be thankful, and the other times be spoiled, ungrateful, and selfish. But that's not what he said. He said always be thankful. Oh, man, he's asking a lot of me. Well, do you live appreciative? Do you live grateful? Do you live well? There's a good word. Do you live well? Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with. Well, I was thinking this week on, and I was actually working on staying thankful. Because it seems like everybody I know has got a really nice deer this year except for me. I take my daughter and my son-in-law hunting, and both of them. My friend I've hunted with for years, we go up two different times to a little place we have in Kansas City, and we enjoy that week up there, and he comes home with a nice trophy, and me, happy for them all. So I wasn't just thinking about that. I was just thinking about how it does take work to stay thankful. It takes work. Several years ago, my wife and I, we thought it was really important that once a year we go on vacation, and sometimes twice a year, and sometimes more if we could, with our girls. And we always wanted to make sure that they understood that they were important. They were important in our lives, and that we, having teenagers at the time in our home, we wanted them to know that going on vacation, even though it took a lot of work, a lot of financial planning, it would have been easier just to stay home for Michelle and I. We decided to go. And so we went, one of our big trips was we went to Yellowstone. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's great. You get stopped by buffalo right in the middle of a road going through this place. And you have to stop, and you don't have much else. I mean, you just can't do much there except for watch. On the way up, as many of you have been on vacations with your family and your teenage kids, they tend to not look out the window. Because we live in a day of technology that you have a screen that sits right on the back of a headrest, or you have a tablet, or you have a cell phone. And so they're all involved with looking at all the communication that's coming in through the airwaves into our car and robbing them of what we're looking at outside of the window. Well, the closer you get to the mountains out in that area, I understand when you're going across Kansas. I mean, the state tree's a telephone pole. You're going across town. I get that it's more interesting to look at your phone. You look out once or twice and we got it. There's an antelope. Where? I don't know. Can't you see 700 miles away across the... I mean, maybe the further you get. But it's tough. And so we're on our way out there, and we get close to the mountains. And I mean, it's starting to get where you're like, ah, ooh. I mean, those sounds actually come out of my mouth when I'm looking at things because I'm trying to get everybody else to see. And my wife and I, we'd turn around, and what were my kids doing? And so my wife came up with a word that I think Tristan says her mom actually came up with, but I heard it for the first time. And so now they're going to get an argument. Hold on, just pay attention. We'll talk about this later. And so we're driving across, and Michelle, every time we'd see something, I'd go, aw, and I didn't get their attention. So she turned around, and she'd say, appreciate what God has, appreciate. And so then this word came in, appreciate, appreciate, appreciate. Every time we'd see something really cool, appreciate. What it really meant is get your head out of your phone. No, what she was really trying to do is to get our kids' attention on what our attention was on and go, wow, that's appreciative. What God did right that, I can appreciate that. And I've done that several times on vacation. Well, it became a word that kind of circled in our house, and I would look at things different. I mean, when I would get on my motorcycle and start riding, I had a new appreciation for just the landscape in this area that I hadn't really paid attention to. That word resonated with me, and it really did a change in my own thinking. I don't know if it ever helped my girls at all, but it did something for me. And what it did is it made me realize that one of the things I believe that we fail in being thankful for is we have failed in appreciating. Now follow me in what I'm saying here. If you can't be appreciative, then you probably can't be thankful. Because you're not thankful for anything that you don't appreciate. Now I just was thinking this through because in life, I want to quit focusing on everything that is wrong all the time. And I want to start focusing on what's right. What's right in life? We can live life frustrated about what we didn't do, what someone else didn't do, how we handled this, and I shouldn't have done that. And we live in regret and frustration, and we live there. And if you live there, you quit focusing on the things you appreciate, and in a very short time, you find yourself unthankful. And then you're not living according to Colossians 3, always be thankful. Because you forgot how to appreciate. Am I speaking to anybody today? I mean, there's a few people nodding your heads. The other ones are looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Let's look at what is right in life today. What can you appreciate? I mean, most sermons, including mine, show you what's wrong. They do. They just, what changes need to be made in life? And I understand that's needed. Sin is running rampant in our society. I get that, and we're calling it out, and that's needed. Sermons on repentance, and that's needed. And it's needed to be taught and talked about. Sermons pointing out what's wrong in people's lives, needed. But today I'm asking a different question. What's right in your life? What's right in your life? What is it that you appreciate about life? What is good in your life? You can't watch news without seeing bad. You just can't. Because news is bad because bad is news. That made sense in my mind. The only reason you report something is because it's rare. I mean, you talk about the one bank that's robbed because it's rare that a bank gets robbed. So you talk about the one that is. There's 100 that same day in that same area that didn't get robbed, and we're not going to talk about any of them. We're going to talk the one that was rare and got robbed. Hundreds didn't get robbed. A guy gets shot, but there was thousands that didn't. We're not going to talk about any of the ones that didn't. You never hear the report of someone going to the mall and no one got shot. The only time you hear the mall is when you hear a shooting. Or you're a young person. The countless that came in with a gun and had a great day. The countless that walked into a church with a gun and had a great day. You won't see that on the news. One child, something bad happens to, but millions, nothing bad happened to. Hurricanes, tornadoes report the one strip of houses that were ruined, but show none of the houses that the tornado skipped over. And things were different. Nothing happened to them. See, used to, and I know I'm showing my age, but a lot of you can identify with this because you're my age or older. And we used to grow up with only 30 minutes of news a day. And if you missed it, you had to wait till the next evening. 30 minutes a day of news, that's all you got. And there was a problem with that because only 10 minutes were really news. The other was weather. And sports. That's it. 10 minutes of bad news a day. Now we have 24 hours a day news channels. And they're alerting us on our phone of all that just happened. And so we talk all day long about the rarities. That's all we do. We just talk about the rarities. And so here's the problem. Unknowingly, we've programmed ourselves to only talk about what's wrong in life, including our own life. We only talk about what's wrong in our life, and we miss talking about what all is really great in our life. And we get caught up in it. I'm asking you to think today about what's right. Today, what's right in your life? I mean, we have one body part that's hurting, and someone asks how we are, and we talk about the one part that's hurting. You know what? My foot's really well today. You know, today I want to ask you to start thinking about something we haven't been programmed to think. What's going well for you? The word well, if you were to give a dictionary definition, it's an adjective that explains something. It's a satisfactory condition, right or proper. So what is well in your life? You need to know what is well. Why do you need to know what is well? Because if you don't know what is well, you won't know what you appreciate. And if you don't know what you appreciate, then you can't be thankful. Are you following that line of thinking? Yeah. We've got to start recognizing the areas that are well in our life so that we can give attention to it, and that thing we're giving attention to, we can appreciate. We have our heads in the phone all the time, and you don't appreciate the conversation that was going on at dinner time. Yeah. Now, I know that this message would be like, duh. Well, I get that. My question is, what is coming out of your mouth? Is it well? Is it good? The word appreciate. So we know what well is. Well is a satisfactory condition, right or proper. Appreciate means to recognize those things and give significant, give a magnification to it, and give quality to it, to be thankful, to show gratitude. Start a list of what is right in your life. If you have a prayer journal or you spend time with the Lord, I ask you to petition Him. What's right in your life? What's right? I want to go and give a quick disclaimer because some of y'all say, Pastor, you got your head in the sand. And I don't. I can point out just as well as anybody here all the wrong things. All the things that have happened that are not good. I can make a list. I almost started with that list and I thought that's not what I'm trying to accomplish today. I'm not trying to accomplish a list of everything. But so I don't have my head in the sand. I know that there are problems that we're facing right now in our country, in our world. But I want you to just think about this. You start a list of what is wrong in life, and in a couple of minutes, you're done. Really? What's wrong in your life? I'm not talking about your neighbors and everybody else's. I know you take on everybody else's wrongs too. We have to fight that. But what's wrong in your life? You just start writing it down, and in a very short time, your list is done. You'll be searching, trying to find more wrong. But you start making a list of what is right, and you won't be able to complete that list. I did it this morning, just sitting in my office. And I'm like, good grief, there's a long list. You just can't keep going with that negative list. The news, you're not going to run out of things to talk about. Let's see what else is wrong. I don't know. Let me open my Fox News app. Let me open this app. Let me open this app. Let me just look at all of my little texts or my, what do they call them, notifications that have come in about everything going wrong. Let me just throw something out. You know, the earth itself is rotating at a perfect speed to keep all of life stabilized. Well, I hadn't thought about that lately. I know. You might want to. The air you breathe, the weather patterns, the rain, the sun, the seasons, everything that's happening just so you can breathe, the cells, the neurons, the atoms, everything that's happening that allows you to even take your next breath, the lungs taking in oxygen. That swollen ankle, though, it's got you. See, I know that that's what we fight every day, and here's the facts. The poorest of the poor in America have more than the middle class in Europe. The next country that's going to be able to compare to ours. America has trouble. I'm not going to tell you that it doesn't, but it's still the greatest place in the world to raise a family and enjoy life. Just watch. People are going to start seeing, and they have already, the way people live in southern Missouri. And it's raising its population pretty quick because people are wanting what you got. and all we're doing is complaining. Or are we? Maybe not at Christian Ministries Church. Maybe we're starting to realize we do have a pretty good life. Pastor, times are so bad. What I'm telling you is we're living in the greatest time to be alive that's ever been seen. I believe that with all that I am. Almost every one of our cars have an automatic light turner on her. Here's the real cool thing. I've said that for years. I just, when it first came out, I thought that's the coolest thing ever. Now, you don't even have to bright light anybody anymore. Rob's got it on his truck. I mean, we're talking about, all you do is just go down the road and it recognizes a car way off and it dims the lights for you. I haven't been bright lighted in a long time. Just keep that little automatic thing on and it's amazing. If you haven't got one, look into it. It's phenomenal. I mean, just the idea that you don't have to have a key to turn your car on. You just got to have a fob. I didn't even know the word fob existed 20 years ago. I took my truck up to get it serviced the other day. And here's the really cool thing. It has a hidden compartment in my truck of where the little fob goes. I'm on a rabbit trail, but just hold on with me here. Because this is funny. And so I go in and say, came in and got me and said, hey, we need your key. I said, I don't have a key. It's got a fob. You're a Ford dealership. You should know that. It's got a fob. Well, it's not laying. I said, it's right in the console area. And they said, sir, we've looked everywhere. Well, it's right there. And I told them where it was, and they went back out, and then they came back in and said, you're going to have to show us. And I went out there, and I showed them where it was, and they said, we didn't even know they had these on there. And I'm like, and you're getting ready to work on my car. I wouldn't have known it either, Rod told me. But see, what I'm telling you, there used to be a day and time where you had to remember to bring your camera to get a picture. That's funny. You don't ever have to remember to bring your camera because you always have your phone. Used to, you had to look for a phone if you needed to get a hold of it. I mean, we're living in a great time. Well, I don't have cell signal here. Sometimes you ought to look at that as a blessing. The greatest time in the world to be alive is right now. Now for the bad news of this sermon. We're spoiled, ungrateful brats. That's what we are. When I was young and we'd start complaining about how bad we had it. Come on, I know somebody has done this. When I was young and would start complaining or, man, it's so boring here. That word bored now, it gets me. I'm just so bored. I would hear something like this. Boy, I ought to take you over my knee and wear you out. My mama's here, and I'm not lying. My grandma, why don't you go cut a switch off one of those trees, and I'll give you something to think about how bad you got it. I'm having the greatest time of my whole life, Grandma. See, we're living a blessed life, and many need to be put across someone's knee. Because we just don't recognize it. Even in church, the altar has become only a place where people come for problems, looking for answers to what's troubling them in life. Now, God can meet you at the altar. Please hear me. And he can answer needs, and he can help you, and you can pray through things. I get all that. But imagine if we would spend more time with the Lord and fall on our knees with an appreciation and a thankfulness and a praise for the abundant blessings we live in day in and day out. And God, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. What would start happening in the life of Christian people? But we live as complainers. And what I'm telling you is we've got to learn to appreciate. There are things about my wife that I sometimes don't find enjoyable. And I can promise you that her list is probably longer about the things that I have in my life that are not always appreciated. And there has been seasons of our life years ago where we lived frustrated because all our list was made of concerning her and me was the negatives. We went to a marriage conference so that she could hear all of the negatives that I've been telling her that she had. And at the same one, she's secretly praying, oh God, speak to him, because he's talking directly to him. And I'm going, I don't know, but over time, in this one word on a trip to Yellowstone, appreciate. Over time, hearing this message over and over again be spoken into my life, there's some things that I can look back and go, I've changed. She's changed. I can't tell you how much I appreciate my wife and how I'm amazed by her. Now, if you want to ask her all the amazing things about me, you can go and ask her. I'm setting her up for it. But she don't skip a beat with things that are done around our house. I never walk into our house and go, are you kidding me? Do you even live here? Or do you not care about it? I never, ever have walked in our house. I'm talking about she don't skip a beat. She got it done. She got it taken care of. The love and appreciation she has for God's people in life are amazing. She's always concerned that everybody else's needs are met before hers. That's never not been her. I just didn't have all those things on my list. See, there's a lot of great things in your life that you're not putting on your list. You're not putting it in your thinker. You're not seeing the things that are well so you can appreciate them and then be thankful. So many never take the time to find the good in their spouse, and they're living frustrated in marriage. Well, I know that at the beginning you knew all the good things. They didn't change. You just shortened your list. They didn't change. They're still possessing those qualities. Jesus said in John 16, 33, the second half of it, he said, here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. What is going well in your life today with your house, with your kids, with your car, with your spouse, with your church, with your neighbor, with your relationship with the Lord, around your house? Look at the doors that do open correctly. I mean, really, the toilets that do work. You mean you have more than one toilet? You bet. We live in the greatest country in the world. Look at the clothes that are washed and clean instead of all the ones that are in the hamper. Well, I don't know what we're going to do here. It's wearing us down. It's wearing us down. And what is happening is the enemy is allowing the bad to take Christians out. And I'm sick and tired of it. I don't want that to happen. I don't want the enemy to have a foothold. In this building here, the hours that are spent getting worship right, does anybody appreciate that? I'm so grateful for that. And we'll focus on the one word that's misspelled on the screen, or the one time someone may forget that we changed notes, or a lyric that they missed, or they came in wrong, or the band led them in. And we're going to get that wrong beat of the drum. I'm just telling you, Jason, can you just practice a little more, please? Good grief. See, and we're going to get caught up on all this stuff when we had almost every other second of worship magnifying the name of Jesus. But that one took the Christians out. And that's all they go home talking about. We ask someone, how are you? And the next thing you know is you're hearing a life story of everything that's wrong in their life. But you're not going to hear about that foot that's working well. See, you're not going to hear about the things that are going good. God forgave us today for being spoiled, ungrateful brats. Aren't you glad? I mean, he did. All four Gospels, Jesus giving thanks before breaking bread. We read about Jesus himself giving thanks. Jesus himself gave thanks. That's why it's very important before every meal that we eat. I give thanks because Jesus made that a point where at least a part of his day can say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. But we have turned prayers before dinner into a bunch of requests. A bunch of requests. Let's just find out what all we can pray about or for. I'm not saying we need to pray about and for, but we can't leave out the thanks. God, thank you. Thank you for this meal we're about to eat. Thank you. We're grateful. We give you thanks. If you have your Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Really forget everything that's going on here on this earth. And let's just see, if you took away all the things that are going bad here, we still have if you take away all the things that are going good here and we just see all the bad that's going on here, as a Christian, you still have reason to give thanks. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We're always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation. A salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. I mean, this is good news. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. Boy, you just don't know the health crisis I'm going. Have you read John 3:16 lately? Or are we only going to talk about our list of all that's... How can you have a bad day knowing what God did through Jesus? Well, okay, you ought to go follow my day through. You need to get saved. Salvation will let you know it's a good day. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, we quote that one a lot. Let's read on. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his Son, so that his Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, that's you and I, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Nothing can separate us from God's love. What shall we say about wonderful things as these? If God's for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own Son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or are destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we're killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. How can we have a bad day? How can we have a bad day? It's a good day. Colossians 2:13. You were dead because of your sins. Then God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Can we just for a moment look at what's well in our life? This is a good message for our young people. Spoiled means to damage or become useless. That's what spoiled means. Spoiled means to impair the enjoyment, and that's where we are. We can become so used to God's blessings that we become useless, and we quit enjoying life. In the history of the world, it's never been easier to live than right now. It's just not. It's never been. So let's turn our focus off of what the difficulties are and look at what's right. Are you hearing this today? Look at what's right in our life. Have you seen people as well? They're well in my life. They're appreciated. They're appreciated at your work. Well, who does behind scenes work for you that makes your life easier? The coworkers you work with. Well, but it's their job. It might be, and that's what they're supposed to do, but they're doing it, and praise God they are. See, in your home, appreciate your home and what your parents, your wife, your husband does. Teenagers, when's the last time that you went to your mom and dad and said, hey, mom, dad, thank you. I've had a great life. I'm enjoying life. No, we've got people wanting to commit suicide because their list is only ever viewed as all the things that are wrong, and they never seeing what's well. Here's the problem. If they're in a home and you're the parent, how much are you saying appreciate right now? Appreciate. Get your head out of the phone. Come on, look up here. Appreciate. Ooh, wow, that's awesome. Are you appreciative of what has been done for you? First and foremost, God, and then in everything else in life. We just take things so for granted. I'm asking you to appreciate today. The dishes don't just jump in the sink and out and back into the cabinet. Who have you appreciated for doing? Or are you always saying, nobody's done the dishes. Yes, I will. What? How are we, is there any, well, you just don't understand about the dishes. All right, well, find something else. There's something to appreciate. Spoiled is keeping us from enjoying life. Start looking at who's doing something in your life. Let's not have a bunch of spoiled teenagers in this church. Let's not have a bunch of spoiled adults in this church. We have to instill an attitude of appreciation, and you do that by knowing what's well. We have a few problems. We have a few frustrations. I get that. But how about trying being thankful? We're not going to have church Wednesday night, and I'm really frustrated about that because I like to be in church on Wednesdays. Well, then why'd you cancel it? Because I'm more thankful for those that will be cooking a meal for families on Thursday night and getting ready to say, God, I'm so thankful. So I can go into Wednesday night and go, you know what? It is well. It's a good thing. It's not spoiled. This is a great thing. We're not in church. Nope. And I'm so thankful that this church looks at Thursday when we celebrate Thanksgiving as not just a one-time-a-year deal, but this is the life we live. And now everybody else kind of joining in on it. I want to leave today with a mindset of enjoying this wonderful life that God has given us. Once again, I'm not unaware of the list of things that need attention in our home. Not unaware of that. But what I'm saying is don't ruin what God intended for our people by keeping that list your priority and not looking at the things that are well, the things that are good. No one got that more, and you've probably heard this story. For those of you that did, then you'll hear it again. Here we go. It's a great story. I don't know how to say his name really well, but I'll call him Horatio Spafford. I looked it up, and that's the way they said it, but it's got a little hillbilly to it. 1828 to 1888 is when he lived. He was a wealthy Chicago lawyer with a thriving legal practice, a beautiful home, a wife, four daughters, and a son. He was also a devout Christian and faithful student of the scriptures. His circle of friends actually included Dwight Moody, Ira Sankey, and various other well-known Christians of the day. And at the very height of his financial and professional success, Horatio and his wife Anna suffered a real tragic loss of their young son. Shortly thereafter, on October 8th of 1871, the Great Chicago Fire, if you've ever studied in history, you've read about that, it destroyed a lot of the township and it destroyed every real estate investment that Spafford had. In 1873, Spafford scheduled a boat trip to Europe in order to give his wife and daughters a much-needed vacation and time to recover from the tragedy. So he was going to join Moody and some preachers on an evangelistic campaign in England. Spafford, he sent his wife and daughters ahead of him, and he remained in Chicago to take care of some unexpected last-minute business. Several days later, this is before the ability for news to be instantaneous, but several days later, he received notice that his family's ship had encountered a collision, and all four of his daughters drowned. So he'd lost his son and all four daughters, and his wife survived. They couldn't communicate. With a heavy heart, Spafford boarded a boat that would take him days later to his grieving wife, Anna, in England. And it was on this trip, on the boat, speculated somewhere around the collision point, that he penned some very famous words. And I know that there are days in life that these words that he penned, we've all faced. And I ask you today that you might know that you know that, well, things that are good, not spoiled in life, are all because of what Jesus has done. And as a Christian, we can see that. Could our pianist and our prayer team come forward? And as they're coming, would you all stand with me?
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.